Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:05 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 21st. And I thought I would lead today with one of the biggest breakouts that we've seen around. It is the Nasdaq Biotech Index following through. This is the third consecutive day where we have seen pretty impressive gains in the sector. And this is a clear upward dynamic. It is an emphatic breakout from this range that has been evident for most of the year so far. And it's a pretty broad-based advance. And we're seeing an increasing number of shares breaking out of what have been medium-term ranges. The most important thing that has happened in biotech in the last 2 years was that big decline. But even though it was a very large decline relative to where the peak was, it's still substantially above where the base breakout occurred back in 2010. And the fact that it was able to hold the majority of that advance over the 6 months of pullback, the more than year of ranging, is really quite bullish. There is an increasing slew of smaller companies that are coming to market with truly commercial potential, and it's being accelerated not only by the fact that they've been in development for such a long time, but there's also an increasing number of these treatments are getting accelerated through the permitting stages by the USA's FDA. And in addition to that, this is a sector that where quite a significant amount of money is being invested, and it is all being helped along as well by the evolution of CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology, which is a remarkable enabler. So this is helping to the index to break up and out of this range, and it is really quite a powerful riposte to anyone who had any doubts that this wasn't still a bull market. There is ample recovery potential for this index, considering that it has spent over a year ranging, and indeed it's more like a year and a half, really. So that's quite positive. But I think it is particularly relevant to contrast it with the Nasdaq, which was up almost 1% in here today and has held up remarkably well, despite the fact that it has had the largest pullback in a year over the last 2 weeks. It is rather steady, and it has not had the downside follow through that would confirm a peak of more than short-term significance. But nonetheless, if one is looking for a less risky way of engaging with the market, then there is a very large question whether one should just go for the breakout where there is the potential for a significant catch-up move, or whether you continue to bet on something that has been going up for a lot already. Personally, I think that the breakout is a less risky way of engaging with the market, considering that there are a significant number of very large technology shares, despite the fact that, for example, Amazon continues to pause here around this 1,000 level. It cleared the 1,000 level again in here today, but it is still quite overextended. And this is an uptick in volatility that we've seen in the last couple of weeks. So maybe it does go on to new high ground, but then it is only a matter of time before we do get a somewhat larger pullback, whereas the biotech sector is really only just getting out of the blocks right now. This was also an interesting day in the oil market. There was this announcement out of Saudi Arabia that the king has given the lead position to his son rather than his nephew, and is going to place an enormous amount of responsibility on the shoulders of a 30-year-old. The oil market is down an additional $1.34 in here right now. And I did show this contract table menu yesterday, where you see that there is it's actually contracted. There is not even a $4 difference between August 2017 and May 2019. But when we looked at that 6 months ago, it was less than a dollar. There's been a lot of hedging activity has gone on. That is why that's why we can say quite clearly that there has been a great deal of drilling activity. And that is helping to offset OPEC's supply cuts. There is a clear rollover now. This is has been a very volatile ranging phase, but it is increasingly looking oversold, and there's no evidence yet that this decline has ended. And considering that if there has been a lot of hedges put on, we don't exactly know when those hedges are going to expire. And but what we do know is that once you've got the hedge on, you can profitably produce at whatever the higher level was, regardless of what the lower price is. So that's quite clearly a bearish phenomenon for the oil market, and it really is in need of some sort of catalyst to drive it higher. And that is, for example, really has been the relative low price of oil has been quite a significant tailwind for the airline sector. And Qantas in Australia has been up in a straight line really for much of the year so far. It is increasingly overextended relative to the trend mean, and this has been an incredible advance. We're beginning to see just the first signs of a pause this week, but certainly nothing in the way of a downward dynamic. Meanwhile, the banking sector in Australia was a bit weaker in here today. The major banks were downgraded by Moody's, but only 1 point. They're still they're among the only banks that are AAA rated, even though we're now at the lower side of that AAA rating. And the AS51, the ASX 200, is right now testing the region of the trend mean. So when we look at the composition of the ASX 200, if we add together the materials and the financial sector, it's over 52% of the index. So despite the fact that the industrial sector and the healthcare sector are doing really quite well, they're comparatively small relative to the heavyweights, which are the financials and materials. And the materials index is also under pressure in here. So that's quite a significant headwind for the Australian market, and it is really going to have to turn around, considering that the materials index was the clear outperformer last year. It has now failed to find support in the region of the trend mean. It is coming back into the region of the low that we had about 2 months ago, but a similar upper dynamic to what we saw then is going to be required to confirm support in this area. And that is, and of course, the lower oil price, the pressure that's on the natural gas price, not least because of increasing supply and also because a lot of prices are tied to the oil price, but then also iron ore and coal, that represents a headwind for the materials index, but also for the Australian economy generally, because so much of inward revenue comes from those exports. So certainly the Australian index is in need of a bullish catalyst. And the Australian dollar has been softening over the last couple of sessions. It's still trading around this 75 area. It's been largely range bound for a year and a half already, but the rally that we've seen since the middle of May does appear to be rolling over at this stage. So again, another upper dynamic is going to be required to confirm a return to demand dominance there as well. I don't think there's anybody at the RBA wants to see a particularly stronger currency at this particular juncture. And I want to also highlight this graphic. It is the new weightings of the MSCI Emerging Markets Index. They decided last night that they would admit the Chinese A shares. So what that is going to result in is a 0.09% increase in China's weighting in the MSCI Emerging Market basket. That's probably better news for the Chinese shares listed overseas than it is for the domestic the stock market, and not least because they're performing better. The A share index is heavily weighted by the banks. The banks are being are literally arms of the government, and they're being forced to to batten down the hatches and attempt to try and rein in some of the speculative interest. Nonetheless, the A-share index was in positive territory, and here today it continues to bounce back from the most recent setback. And as long as it is holding that 1 month progression of higher reaction lows, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Meanwhile, if we take an example like Alibaba, then it has been in resurgent form for much of the last month. It was up an additional almost $5 in here today. And if we look at that on the weekly chart, this really is a return to outperformance, and it is trading well above its IPO level and continues to advance in, and that is representative of the performance of a significant proportion of the overseas listed Chinese shares. And when we look at Europe, then there's still a great deal to talk about with regard to Brexit, but when we look at the Eurostoxx index, it has been incredibly inert for much of the last month. This has been a very steady unwinding of the short-term overbought condition in the region of the 2015 highs. As long as it's doing that, then I don't think there's anybody going to be particularly worried about it. The fact that it is just going sideways is allowing that moving average to catch up with it. And even though we might get there is the potential for a somewhat swifter pullback at some point to swiftly unwind that overextension, as long as it is trading above the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. After all, the ECB is still printing, and printing rather aggressively. And there is quite a bit of debate going on inside the Bank of England with regard to what to do about the pound and interest rates. Obviously, Mark Carney doesn't want to raise interest rates, not least when there is so much uncertainty surrounding the Brexit negotiations and what shape the relationship between the EU and the UK is going to have after this really quite pivotal event. Nonetheless, the weakness of the pound, and it is almost a year, so it is beginning to drop off the weekly chart. But when, in fact, it's more than a year, so that chart is showing us a bit more than a year of history. But the pound has trended lower for 3 years already, and the fact that the pound is lower and is creating an environment where imports are more expensive, and that is creating an inflationary bias. That and a significant number of companies, not least Primark and major importers, held off on raising prices for a while, but they're not going to be able to do that indefinitely. So inflation is rising, and wages are not keeping pace. So the there are a certain group of people in the Bank of England want to raise interest rates, and that is creating some indecision in the pound. It pulled back in the immediate aftermath of the election result, and it has been reasonably steady since. And that's the case both against the dollar and against the euro, where it is still testing the lower side of this range, even though it did break the what had been a short term, or at least a progression of higher reaction lows for much of this year. It is still in the region of the lower side of that range. And considering that the ECB is printing, then the potential for the pound that or at least for the Bank of England to be ready to raise interest rates if inflation really does become an outsized problem, then that is lending at least some support to the pound in here, and not least because it has already had a very large decline, that we would need to see a significant additional deterioration to really justify significantly lower levels in the pound. And of course, that is not beyond the bounds of possibility, but right now there isn't a great deal of evidence for it. And if that being the case, then the chances are we are going to have a reasonably inert environment. And US Treasuries are we're down a little bit in here today for the majority of the session, but we're actually able to finish up on the day. And when that has to be contrasted with what's happening in the stock market. Bond investors are willing to believe that the Fed is not going to be raising interest rates, and they may have some justification for that. I'm going to post a number of retail share charts in comment of the day today, but the more recent deterioration that we've seen has been in what I think can be fairly described as the either low cost or at least mid-tier range of the market. TJX, which owns both TJ Maxx and Marshalls, has now broken down, and that increasingly has type 3 top formation completion characteristics. I think investors will be looking back at previous occasions when it has dipped below the 200-day moving average, but on those previous occasions it rallied back in emphatic form. Most particularly in 2014 and in 2015, and if it's going to do that, it would really want to be getting about it. Whereas Ross Stores, which is most definitely in the lower cost side of the equation, has an even more compelling completed top characteristic here. There is certainly pressure coming into an increasingly large proportion of the retail market, and the retail industry employs millions of people. If the deterioration in these share prices persists, that is going to the I guess the response at a number of boards is going to be to cut costs and to reduce headcount. If that represents and because it's such a large employer, that is going to represent a headwind to the Fed raising interest rates. And that alone could be beneficial both for bond prices to advance and also for growth stocks, because they benefit most in a low interest rate environment. And that also could feed through to the relative performance of the Nasdaq compared to the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones. The S&P was in mildly negative territory today, despite the fact that the Nasdaq was up almost 1%. So there really is a lot going on out there, and the number of things that we could talk about is almost endless. The Japanese market was a little bit weaker in here today, but it is sustaining this move so far above 20,000. In fact, it has been really quite steady over the last 2 months in the region of 20,000, and I think that if it can continue to hold this level, then that would be really very beneficial indeed. And I think the last thing to really keep an eye on is the dollar. If the dollar was a little bit weaker in here today, it is up at the upper side of this range over the last 6 weeks. The Federal Reserve is about to embark on a reduction in the supply of its currency, and most other central banks are increasing the supply of theirs. That should be bullish for the dollar, and perhaps the market is willing to wait until they have evidence of the Fed actually doing it. Rather than saying that they're going to do it, that might be one of the reasons why we get some back and forth in the dollar between now and when the Fed actually follows through on its prognostications. But if they do in fact begin to reduce the size of their balance sheet, that could be positive for the dollar. So that's also worth bearing in mind when we look at the gold price. And gold prices are back below $1,250. The most consistent thing about the trend since the middle of December of last year has been the progression of higher reaction lows. It is now coming back towards where support could be expected to be found. Somewhere between here and $1,220 would represent where, if that broad consistency is going to be sustained, that we can expect gold prices to find support. So I think this is becoming an increasingly interesting market, and it is interesting that the leading precious metal, palladium, was up in rather robust fashion in here today. So firming from $850 and pushing on, this is looking increasingly likely that it could indeed surmount the price of platinum for the first time in a significant period. And it has been generally a weak period for a significant number of the commodities. For example, white sugar is accelerating lower at this stage, and they've extended its pullback in here today. So one of the clearest parts of the commodity sector that is at least demonstrating relative strength by simply going nowhere is the industrial metals sector. The London Metals Index was down a tad in here today, but it's still holding the region of the moving average. And copper prices were up, and they were up in the region of about 5 cents, if my memory serves me. But the most important thing that it's doing is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. And as long as it is doing that, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.